So what are we going to call it? Because we talked about it. I think it should be called Cartoon Violence Super Ultra Mega Fun Podcast Number One.
How about like Cartoon Super Violence Has a Podcast? And then we can have our logo be the sort of Shepherd Fairy style under the giant portions of our heads. With Cartoon Violence Has a Podcast.
Yeah, I like that. Sounds like a plan.
Alright, so
I guess that's the name then.
Is that it? Do we keep passing it? Alright, Cartoon Violence Has a Podcast.
It's official.
Episode 1. Alright, the beginning.
The return to the beginning.
Yes.
We didn't go anywhere before.
But we're doing it again for the first time.
Yeah.
So,
what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Cartoon Violence Has a Podcast, Episode 1. I am Professor Robot.
And I am Dr. Octave.
And joining us for our first ever podcast, right before he moves away to Canada and breaks our hearts, is the lovely Mike Ackman, who you might know better as Together We Are Robots.
Hi.
Yay! Hi. Personal round of applause for you.
How are you doing today,
Mike? I'm good.
Do you prefer to be bots?
Hi.
Yay!
Hi.
Personal round of applause for you.
How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm good.
Do you prefer to be called Mike or Together We Are Robots?
Mike. Definitely Mike.
All right. Cool.
Can we call you Twar?
Ooh. No.
Okay. All right, Mike. Thanks.
What about T-War?
Ooh, that's good.
T-War.
Yeah. I'm like, a fan of the first initial word nickname
T-War
style.
T-War? Like, it could be like... It would be like... A war between Ice-T and Mr. T.
That's a war I'd watch.
Yeah. The T-Wars.
Yes.
Written by William Shatner.
They're so refreshing.
Well, yeah. I mean, one's hot and one's cold.
Mm.
So, yeah. So, we actually have, like, an agenda for this thing.
Oh, my God. Let me find the paper with the agenda on it.
Yeah. We didn't just decide to talk into a mic and see what happens. And by talking to a mic, I mean microphone. We don't talk into...
I'm talking into a mic right now. Can you hear me?
The mic, I think, is picking up talking into mic.
All right. So, yeah, we got this podcast now. And we have some segments. And we have a guest. And it's going to be all official.
Dude. Wow. my mind's blown already.
Yeah, we got all the features of an official podcast.
I'm
segments
sure everybody
and
else's mind is blown right now as well. Everyone listening.
I hope so. So, how should we start it out?
Let's start it out like the V starts it out.
Do people know who we are and what we do?
Oh, well, I'm Professor Robot, and I'm in Cartoon Violence. And if you're listening to this, you probably have heard our music.
Or somebody's forcing you to listen to this.
Yeah, which is good.
Like, maybe there's somebody in their secret underground lair who has a hostage, and they're tied up to a chair listening to this podcast.
That is how I imagine most of our audience finds out about us.
Well, speaking of secret underground lairs, I'm Dr. Octave, and I use my secret underground lair to make musical experiments.
I'm a robot from another dimension, built to use music as a weapon.
Well, golly, we should fight musical crime together as some sort of band.
Like, yeah, I don't know, when was the last time you heard a song from Creed? That's all I'm saying. You're welcome, America.
I mean, we gotta clean up our society, you know?
Yeah. Do you have Mike? Do you have questions for us about like what the hell we are? Because you would know more about what the hell.
As you guys, I'm sure you know that I've seen you guys numerous times perform.
Absolutely, you performed with us.
I did last year.
An honorary member.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be the rhythm guitarist of my heart.
Aww. How many strings are on your heart?
Seven.
Yeah, you got seven a seven-string heart.
Yeah. Cool. I need that. I need that drop. Load B.
Do all left-handed robots have seven-string hearts?
Maybe.
Okay.
I've never ripped out the heart of another seven-string hearted robot before.
Uh-huh.
So,
well,
that's the only way I can find out.
Maybe put it on your bucket list.
Yeah.
Do robots have bucket lists?
No.
Okay. Do you have bucket files?
No.
Bucket Dropbox or bucket zip.
Yeah.
Bucket we zip. Have clouds.
So, and we were at our album release a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. You were playing guitar for us. And then this past Thursday, we got to see your album release.
Yes. Yeah.
So, that's Sunrise. A segue. Our podcast has segues now. Oh, I'm so excited.
The cat's in the cradle in the silver spoon. We've watched you grow so much in the last year. Dude, your music has always been awesome. Now you've got this new album, and it is freaking rad as hell.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, I'm beyond impressed with how it turned out.
Yeah.
And when Morgan was helping produce it, he didn't let me hear anything after it was recorded. And
Morgan Tucker,
Monomom Records, Crash Faster, and DeLorean Overdrive, and
10 million other projects.
He's just a wizard, and that's a cool noise.
A special guest Bandsaw is here. Yeah, this is their new single, In Your Ears.
That's cool.
It's from their album called Untimely Interruptions.
Yeah, great cut. Great cut.
It's great. I can't wait for the LP.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you got started with doing an album with Morgan and Monobomb. Because you know, when we first started seeing you, it was just like some stuff on SoundCloud and a guitar and a Game Boy, right?
Yeah.
So how does that evolve into something that sounds like a Decemberist song with accordion and backup vocals?
I mean, you weren't even called Together We Are Robots the first time I saw you.
Yeah, I was Zombie. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
That was about 4 years ago now.
Really? Has it really been that long?
Yeah, it was about 2011 when I changed the name to Together We Are Robots.
Wow. Damn, man.
Time flies.
Yeah, that's a trip.
That's insane.
Yeah. and we've been Cartoon Violence for 6 years last month, which is...
Jesus Christ.
A time warp kind of thing to think about here.
Wow, that's a small freaking world.
Yeah.
Freaking world. So, but back to you, which is the important part here.
Yes.
So yeah, how did you start off with just getting the whole chiptunes sound and stuff like that?
So I started writing ghost stories years ago, and literally about 2 years ago, and maybe a bit longer, I don't remember. Basically it was originally just going to be guitar, Game Boy, and vocals. And basically when we were recording, I recorded a bunch of demos when I was back home in Canada with my buddy Shane, and we were recording, and I came back here and I put a bunch of these, this demo recordings up on SoundCloud. And then, Morgan was talking with me and he's like, let's actually produce like an actual, like, high quality album. And of course, so I went over to Monomom Studios, if you will, and recorded the guitar and the Game Boy and the vocals, and we kind of just sat on that for about a year, and Morgan was like, I feel like it needs like something more, and we got Devin, the drummer from Crash Faster and DeLorean Overdrive and Strip Liquor.
Every band.
And pretty much every chiptune band in California. Devin Nixon is a drumming powerhouse.
He's the quintessential drummer of the chiptune scene, I think.
Yeah, it's... Yeah,
I think we're the only band he's not in.
Yeah. Has he played with us before?
No. We're Devinless. No. We got to get some of that. We try, but he's been playing for Mike, and he's been playing for Wiz Wars, and he's been playing for anybody with the Game Boy who comes to Rock Edge.
Yeah, pretty much.
And when we basically got together, and he created these amazing drum tracks, and... In no time, and then we started incorporating Devin into Together We Are Robots live shows, and I feel like it got a fairly good response, so we decided to have that on the album, and we were kind of figuring different things out, playing around with different ideas, and Morgan basically said, like, I want to try and make this a party with as many other instruments as possible, and it just, like, just to fill everything out. And I said, sure. And over the over this past December and January, while I was doing vacation things, he was booking all of our amazing musician friends to come in and just collaborate and come up with ideas and bits and pieces for each of the songs on the Ghost Stories album. And when I came back to re-record a bunch of the vocal and guitar takes, I was blown away with how much it evolved. And he warned me. He was like, it's changed a lot. And at first I didn't know like what I would feel, how I'd feel about that. And then I heard it and I was like, yep, this is how it it should sound. And
so it just kind of, it all just kind of came together.
It came together.
It took a year to get it done.
Took about 2 years to get it done from start to finish. And I couldn't be happier with how it turned out. It was
worth the wait.
And when it came out on Wednesday, I had a whole bunch of things planned to do that day, and I got none of those things done because I was just too busy listening to my own album for the first time. And,
but I mean, that was really like the first time like you'd ever heard the final product yourself.
Yeah. Right? Morgan kept it under lock and key.
Did he want to kind of surprise you with it? Or?
Yeah, his idea was essentially to have it as a farewell gift for me leaving, and just a one of the larger Monobomb releases.
Yeah. So I mean, that's like we mentioned, you're about to leave the San Francisco Bay Area chip scene and move back to Canada for like what, a year?
About 2 years. Yeah,
2 years. Then, so, like, what's your plan for Together We Are Robots or Ghost Stories, like, as an album? Like, what do you want to do with it in the next 2 years?
Well, we're working on actual physical copies right now, and, for CDs, and then, I'm gonna work on some kind of more special secret things right now for a, eventual vinyl release in the future.
Nice. So you've got new material that you're already ready to go back in and do stuff with?
Yeah.
Nice. Are you still going to be collaborating with Morgan? Are you going to be doing stuff in Canada with, like, a new group?
So I'm going to keep Together Your Robots around. For the most part, it'll probably just go back to me just being solo up in Canada. But, of course, I'm always welcome to collaborate with the rest of them when I'm down here in the Bay Area.
And what with the internet and all technology and stuff like that.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean that. I think that leaves you a lot of potential still. But it's, it's interesting though. To me, it's just like the timing and like also like I don't know how I would personally, you know, deal with something like that. And like, and it's like such a good album that I want to make sure that like I want to know. I want assurance from you that you're going to keep up with this.
Oh, it's, you know, trust me, Ghost Stories is just like is phase one. There's going to be some pretty interesting things that I'll be putting out as Together Your Robots, as well as I'm working on a couple other side projects right now. One of them is a more electronic based, not so much. There's still chiptune influence in it, but there's less guitar, less vocals. It's primarily more just electronic stuff called Knucklehead.
I like that, and, because it's also kind of a Marvel Comics reference.
Yes it is.
Yes.
So I'll be working on that.
Synchronized sipping.
Hmm.
So it's not just a reaction to American Idiot.
Yeah, I know.
is this your new Broadway musical that you're going to be preparing? Mike Ackman, Knucklehead?
Don't want to be a Canadian. Middle ground.
just Canadian.
Yeah. But I do.
You stop there.
I mean, the reason I moved back home is so I can be Canadian again.
Yeah.
Do people give you too much shit about being Canadian?
No, actually, well...
We all poke fun at,
yeah,
at stuff like that, you know, because that's what friends do. They jape and stuff.
And we all poke fun at America.
But yeah, it's, yeah.
So, we're pokeable.
Yeah, yeah, we're definitely... So. You've got plenty of material.
it's always just, you know, fun, friendly quips and jabs.
So what's it going to be like when you're back there? Like, are you going to blow up the Calgary music scene and start 8-Bit Calgary and have an open mic that starts a new movement and bring the next generation of Canadian musicians into the spotlight? Like,
yeah, I'm actually planning on starting a Calgary-based, or at least Alberta-based, chiptune scene. I mean, there's definitely not as many chip artists in Canada as there are even just on the West Coast here in the States. I was talking during GDC, I was talking to Bryface, who is down here playing a show, and he's from Vancouver, and he said he's always down to come out and do some shows. And there's a couple chip artists in Alberta. There's one in Edmonton. There's another guy in Calgary. The guy in Edmonton is called Boosh, and then we have Grace Green in Calgary.
Boosh. I like that is...
It's a mighty name.
Andor Cacao.
Ooh.
Like I don't know. Everyone always talks about the mighty Boosh, but I got Boosh from Frisky Dingo. That's where my Boosh is from.
That is where Boosh is from.
I don't know where he got his name Boosh from, but
it was from President George W. Boosh, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
May his reign go down as one of them.
But yeah,
mainly on the plane.
Yeah.
There's not as many chip artists in Canada, but I feel like, you know, if I'm able to put an amount of effort in towards keeping a tight-knit community between, you know, these small handful of people up north, we can actually probably have maybe like a monthly show, or maybe a show like every other month.
Take them out. Take them out. Just kill them and be the only guy in Canada doing this, and then just become like the chiptunes Drake.
You could be the next Drake,
but for chiptunes.
I'd rather not.
Have you ever acted in a high school melodrama?
Come on, I'll call some people. We'll get you on Degrassi, The Next Generation, for a season or two, and like then we'll like, you know, bring you back over here, get some tattoos on you, and chiptunes it, bro.
No.
Oh man. Oh, I had a serious question for you too, but I forgot it. After all of this fun hijinks stuff. Oh no! I want to talk about Ghost Stories, the album, because this is like a concept album, right? You said the other night during your performance that it's about your apartment that's haunted.
Yes, I have very strong reasons to believe that my current apartment in San Francisco is haunted.
Have you checked it with a PKE meter?
I don't believe in all that stuff.
PKE meters.
Is that
that's the shit from Ghostbusters.
I was thinking the
e-meter.
That
just tests galvanic skin response, yeah. Which everybody has.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. No. My bad. No, there's just been some definitely like bizarre occurrences in my apartment since I moved in there.
Alright, well, what's like the one that sticks out the most? Like,
there is,
and are these like scared shitless moments, or?
This one was definitely, I was unnerved for a hard amount of time. I came back from, I hosted a weekly board game night, and I came back with, probably around 1:32 in the morning, and, I tried opening my front door, and my front door physically closed in my face. And I live by myself. And so that was kind of I was like, okay, that's weird. That's new. So I opened my apartment and closed, I get inside. And I had this instinct just to, like, start recording. So I went on, I think I hit a video or Instagram or sound recorder or whatever. And I kind of just asked, like, is anybody there? And I had a book that's about a 1,700-page book fly about 6 feet off my bookshelf and land in my floor in the hallway. It's like, that's not something that usually happens. And I was, yeah, I wouldn't say scared shitless, but I was definitely like, what the fuck is that? Can we swear on this, by the way?
We already did.
Okay, cool. yes, so that was definitely that. And there's other, you know, kind of more regular occurrences, like, my hallway lights haven't worked since about the first month of me moving in, and it's not the fuse and it's not the wiring. But every once in a while, the lights will just turn on like nothing, and I won't be able to turn them off, and they'll just turn off on their own. So there's that, and then every once in a while, there's some knocking between the walls of my hallway and my bedroom.
So maybe the mice play the drums, or maybe you've got ghosts.
Yes.
Are you afraid of no ghosts?
Now that I hear that spoken out loud, I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
There you go.
Yeah, it took me a while to kind of decipher that.
But how does busting make you feel?
Oh, I'm a fan of busting.
Yeah?
Does it make you feel good?
All right, I think that's all the Ghostbusters quips we know.
For more Ghostbusters quips, go listen to our cartoon violence song called Dearest Dana.
That's the
shameless
truth.
Plug on
shameless
our own
plug. Oh, that's a new segment. Shameless plugs.
Shameless plugs. All right. So, like, my favorite. I want to talk about my favorite song in the album. Oh. Thousand Hounds has been my favorite song of yours for a long time now. Like, what is that song about? That's what I want to know.
Okay. So, A Thousand Hounds. I wrote that. That was one of the first songs I wrote on that album. trying to remember exactly everything behind it, but I was more or less writing it just from the mindset of someone that wanted to seek revenge. So they hunted this person down in the woods and sicked their dogs on them and then killed them in a cabin and set the cabin on fire. It's pretty much just straightforward that. I'm trying to remember the inspiration for it. But, I don't really remember. Yeah, no, like...
Did the ghost write it for you?
No, it might have been a dream that I had, or it might have been I was watching something on TV, or it might have been... Oh, no, it was from a book! Okay, I remembered, sorry.
Ding, 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 ding!
Put some, you know, flashing lights and shit.
Yeah, on the podcast.
Yeah, lights on the audio podcast. I'm actually rereading it now. It's called The Beautiful Thing That Awaits Us All by Laird Barron. He's kind of paranormal kind of writing. It's like a more modern H.P. Lovecraft, but he's less wordy and less xenophobic. I definitely like his writing style, and there's one of the stories in this book. It's a collection of short stories about these people going hunting in the woods, and they're getting hunted down, and that was one of the big influences for that song.
Cool.
All right, well, one more question. You got the Green Lantern tattoo?
Yes, I do.
All right, so Green Lantern, favorite hero of all time, then?
Yes.
Who is the greatest Green Lantern ever?
Guy Gardner,
really?
I love him because he's everything that I'm not.
Wow.
He's overly charismatic, kind of a dick, and a ginger. He's
a Bostonian, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a...
He's like, or whatever the equivalent of Boston is in the DC universe. I think you're the only person that would say that.
Really?
Nobody likes Guy Gardner, ever.
I love Guy Gardner. He's a whole lot better than Hal Jordan.
Everyone likes Hal Jordan or John Stewart.
Hal Jordan is so bland. He's the margarine of Green Lanterns.
Well, the New 52 wrote it well, but only because he was like with Sinestro and stuff. But we don't have to nerd out that much about comics. All I will say is I did like Green Gardner in the last Green Lantern Corps series. So, that brought the character some more dynamics. But respect. I respect that.
And if it weren't for other non-Earth Green Lanterns, I'm a big kind of shark.
Shark?
He's literally just a shark.
That's it? He's just a shark with a Green Lantern?
Yeah, he's a Green Lantern shark. Here, let me pull up a picture.
What's the squirrel one? Like, or what?
And
then there's one that's like a crystal with tentacles.
There's a Green Lantern that's a planet.
Moa?
Mogo.
Mogo. I think that would probably be my favorite. Then maybe Jon Stewart.
Shark?
Jon Stewart from The Daily Show is not the Jon Stewart I'm talking about. I know you were going to ask that, Doctor.
He would be an amazing Green Lantern, though. I would love to see Jon Stewart as...
He has the will. He has the will to be a Green Lantern. All right, but now that we've asked our nerdy questions...
There's a Green Lantern that is just a shark.
Nice. All right. Well, good for DC for being progressive. There aren't enough sharks as heroes nowadays.
We need more shark heroes.
We need more shark heroes.
What about Jabberjaw?
Jabberjaw is like the only one. Skoora, the friendly shark.
Oh, yeah? Skoora.
There's two. That's it. Hollywood is animalist.
Yeah. All right. Sign the petition. Change.org.
Speaking of things.
Wow, the segues keep piling up. So, do you want to talk about this $7.3 million copyright lawsuit that everybody else already has an opinion on?
Yeah, here's my take on it. Like, there's been a lot of copyright cases. This isn't copyright. It's musical plagiarism is what we're sued for. And, like, I feel like they kind of blew it with the preemptive suit, because that's what got them sued in the first place. And I don't know, it's not the first musical plagiarism suit. Like, there's been a lot of cases where it's been thrown out of court, and there's been a lot of cases where people won sums, and most of those cases involve bands like the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and like these bigger acts that totally did rip people off. And so it's not like, I don't think this is setting any new precedent. People are like freaking out like, oh my God, I'm going to be, if I write a song, I'm going to be sued by everybody. It's no, it's not like that. I mean, most people are pretty chill about it. I mean, look at how Tom Petty handles it. Tom Petty's like, yeah, I mean, whatever. There's only so many chords. Like, let's settle this like out of court. Like, he's been ripped off twice within the last decade, just recently by that song I don't even know the name of, and I don't care about. But Danny California was a ripoff of Last Dance with Mary Jane. Like, it was like the exact same chord progression and rhythm, and just like Anthony Kiedis going yibba dibba yibba dibba dooba, and then
so I guess you're trying to say that the lines are blurred.
The lines are blurred. Yes, it's a blurred line. That's all there is to it. But I think it's good. I don't think this is setting any sort of new precedent or anything that people are freaking out about. It's just like, if you look at like the history of music and the law of music, then like you'll see there's no real discernible pattern in favor of either ruling for or against.
Yeah. Well, do you agree with the verdict itself in this case?
I mean, I wasn't there, and I am definitely not a musicologist, and those are the type of people that they bring in to talk about this stuff and go over this. Apparently, the ruling was based off of the sheet music. The sheet music is different from the released product, apparently, which sounds kind of weird to me. You had Robin Thicke saying that he was in the studio, like, saying that he wanted to do a song just like that song, and then they wrote it in half an hour. Which, I don't know, sounds like they didn't put a lot of thought into writing it in the first place. And then Robin Thicke went back and said, oh, I was wasted on, like, alcohol and Vicodin when this was going on. So he, like, flip-flopped.
Well, they might both be true.
They could both, the two statements don't necessarily, like, nullify each other. But,
do either of those things make a $7.3 million verdict justified?
I mean, that ruling's probably based off of, like, royalties the song's already made, right?
Sure,
if you include inflation, like, you know, like, back in the day, they might have won $7,000 or something like that, or maybe, like, somewhere in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, but nowadays, like, that's the kind of, I think, like, you know, if you have that sticker shock, okay, then you, but that's really all it is. I feel like that's what's going on here. Is like, people are like, oh my God, that's so much money. That's insane. But it's really like that song, that's based off of royalties that song's already made.
One would hope.
Yeah.
You know, but what could be scary is if copying the style of a song becomes a kind of thing where
you get sued.
Yeah.
But okay, but see, there's so many other steps that go into proving that it's plagiarism. For instance, you have to have access to the song to begin with. Like, I think in a lot of cases, there's going to be a lot of people writing similar songs and similar rhythms and melodies that have never heard each other before. And, like, without being able to prove that, like, it's going to be thrown. And I feel like the people are just paying too much attention to that one thing about the feel. It's like, no, there was more to it. You don't just go into a court and be like, well, this kind of feels the same. You should give us the money. It's like, no, there's, like, all of these expert witnesses called. There's all this evidence. That the reason I bring up the Robin Thicke statement is because he made the second statement to try and alienate himself from the admission of having access to it in the first place by saying he had that conversation. He was trying to be like, oh, I don't really even remember saying that, you know?
And, sure, but I'm not even worried about that. I'm just worried about, like, even if it was intentional, even if he went into the studio of Sound, Mind, and Body and said, I want to make a song that sounds like this Marvin Gaye song. That's okay. Yeah. We went into the studio and said, we want to make a song that sounds like Junior Senior. We want to make a song that sounds like The Cure.
Well,
that's,
now we're
going to
get sued.
Okay.
Now we're going to get sued. Now that you've admitted that. No, I think it's fine to get the feel, but I'm saying it's not, the ruling isn't based off of just the feel. You know, I'm saying that's part of, like, what they were talking about in the court case, but, like, too much focus and attention is being put on that. Like, you call people in, you have them talk about music theory, and they explain why all of this is similar. If they have sheet music of both of those songs and they compare the sheet music, it's like DNA evidence, right?
Well, like, unless the sheet music's different than the released music, which you said it was.
But I mean, that's like, but see that is that's on the fault of the people that put in the sheet music and then didn't resubmit it when there was a new version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's like I'm like all of the shit that happened in this court case was a lot of shooting themselves in the foot. And like that's what people need to realize is like it's like these people tried to sue the original artists to begin with, like for slander. Like they went after the people that ended up suing them. Like right there, that's a big screw up, especially when you know that your stuff is so similar to that stuff. You know what I mean? Like people are like looking at this ruling and they're not looking at the whole story, the big picture, and the history of law and music in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my take on it. And not to like go off on a tangent there, which I totally did.
No, I mean, I guess I wasn't in the courtroom. I didn't see the sheet music. I hope it's not a quote-unquote landmark ruling that's going to be the death of style parodies.
I absolutely agree. I just feel confident that it won't be, I guess. And I feel like, you know, it's the same sort of thing. It's just, I don't know, it's sensationalist journalism just about music instead of, you know, drugs in schools or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So, let's see, we're recording this on March 14th, which is 3-1-4-1-5.
Pi Day!
Otherwise known as Pi Day.
Pi Day, gotta get down on Pi Day.
Oh, God.
Everybody's eating pie, the radius. Cherry pie, apple pie, rhubarb and strawberry pie. Nice. That's my pie rap.
That's
my pie rap.
Banana cream, motherfucker.
I wrote a song once called A Lullaberry Pie.
That's a lie.
That's not a lie. You're
just trying to impress me.
Does that impress you?
No.
Well, you should try harder, I guess.
You're Professor Piebot?
Professor Piebot, today I am. Today we're all Piebots.
Yes.
Together we are Piebots?
Yes. Well, I want to start a cover band called A Part I Am Still a Robot. Or Separately I Am Still a Robot.
I came up with a crazy thought the other day about, it was like, together we are robots, apart we are blank, but I don't remember what the blank is. But I think now I just realized I'm going to turn that into a Cards Against Humanity card. Together we are robots, apart we are blank.
Spare parts.
Spare parts.
Ooh.
Big black dick.
Yeah.
Together we are robots. Apart we are two midgets shitting into a bucket.
Oh. Yeah, that's how I finally understood the slide whistle solo from the My Heart Must Go On.
All right, we've already gone.
Yeah, we got blue. Really, really quickly.
Hey, so, we're here with the Doc and the Professor.
So happy Pi Day, everybody.
Happy Pi Day.
So Pi Day.
It's also Steak and a Blowjob Day, apparently.
Which is great, apparently, but has less to do with music than Pi does.
But I mean, if you took Pi Day and a blowjob, you would get a 69, right? Because you're supposed to eat pie and steak and get a
I think the math works out on that.
Yeah, so everybody wins. It's really everybody a win-win sort of day.
Yeah, if you've got a mouth and somebody you love has got another part, you know, have fun.
Even if it's just two blowjobs or two pies, like, go for it.
Sure, yeah, we're not going to discriminate for lack of
two pies
job or pie.
Two steaks, who cares?
Yeah.
Steak and pie.
Everybody. Yeah, yeah.
All right, what is a tangent?
I don't know, but you know, there is one way that pi connects to music, which is what connects us, and that is the sine wave.
Sine wave,
because pi is used in all the calculations of trigonometry, including the sine.
That's the sine, right?
Which opened up my eyes when I saw the sine.
You can visualize sound waves.
Yeah.
Well, on an oscilloscope.
Well, on mushrooms.
Wow. Wow, bro, that's wow.
So speaking of signs and Pi Day, actually, this joke might be really bad. It just came into my head. So there's a calculator walks into a bar and sees a really cute girl. And the calculator goes up and goes, "Hey, what's your sign?"
Gayo!
Yeah! Oh, really bad!
Gayo, I get it, because it's like S-I-N-E.
It's a, yeah, it's a graphic not, tablet. Yeah. Yeah.
The graphic, it's a Texas Instruments.
TI-83.
Should have said a TI-83.
But she was feeling down, and her sign was negative.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
I hate to go on this tangent.
Oh! Well, can I join you on this co-tangent?
Yes!
Alright, then we're set.
Yeah, and it's really weird.
It sounds like when I move in, I'll have to find someone to co-sign.
Oh! Jinx, you each other cokes.
Oh.
Now, you really just made the same joke at the same time. That was more than just saying the same word. All right, so that moment of synchronicity brought to you by the number pi. Stay tuned June 28th when we talk about Tau.
Okay.
which is the real ratio of the circumference to the radius.
Thank you.
Which is more fundamental than the circumference to the diameter.
That's why you're the doctor.
Yeah, well.
Absolutely.
I play one on TV.
Yes, you do.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on a podcast.
There you go. All right. Well, let's, we got other stuff to do today.
We do have stuff. Well, I mean, we could.
I mean, this fantastic podcast.
It's a really great podcast. So
I love
far.
This podcast.
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, we have at least one more feature.
Yeah, oh, let's do this.
Oh, yeah. Really,
are we going to do this? Okay.
All right, yes. So this is our new feature for our first episode of our podcast. So you've never even heard this before. It's the top five. We have each compiled a top five something list, and we are going to go through our list. Five, we each take a turn.
Yeah.
And then if any of our choices match up, the other person has to buzz in, and then the two people have to compete over who gets to keep it on their list.
Yeah, only one person can ever claim any one song in the top five.
And then the other person has to look up another song.
Yeah, or think up.
That is within the theme.
Right.
Today's game is guessing which Starburst is next in the Tube of Starburst.
And today's theme is songs about robots.
That's right. So the theme has to, it's either lyrics about robots or a song specifically named after a robot.
Or about a robot.
But not robots as a metaphor for humanity or anything like that. You know, no, we're not all tools of the system.
Mm-hmm. The robots. Some of us are actually robots.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, together we are robots.
We are robots.
And separately, I am still Professor Robot. So I thought it was a good theme.
Yeah, I like all right. The
team. Well, as our inaugural guest, Mr. Mike, I would like to invite you to do your number five before anybody else's.
Okay. I'm going to have to say it'll be Styx's Mr. Roboto.
That is my number five as well. So we have to fight
over right, yeah,
right. The Starburst.
So the neutral party. So the valid options are what? Orange, yellow, red, and pink. Is that the color space
orange,
we're working with?
Yeah, orange, yellow, red, pink.
Okay, I'm so now is it secret voting? Can you both vote on the same thing? Does it matter?
No, we can't vote. I'm gonna say pink.
I'm gonna say yellow.
Survey says, ooh, I'm opening up the wrapper and I see pink.
Woohoo!
All right, so Blake gets to keep Professor Robot gets to keep Mr. Roboto, and gets a pink Starburst.
Yes, my favorite.
So does that
Starburst.
Mean I have to pick a new number five?
Yeah, and while we pick a new number five, me and Dr. Octave.
Oh, is it our turn now?
Yeah.
All right.
What if I already have number five? A new number five.
If you already have it, then say it.
Yeah. Is it alive?
Yoshimi battles the pink robots with flaming lips.
That's my number. Wait. Which part?
Part one.
Me too. I almost went for part two, but it wasn't actually about a robot.
Yeah,
it was instrumental,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could interpret that as being robotic.
Okay, so I think I saw the next Starburst, so I'm going to have to push out the next one and then not look as I pass it to the impartial party. Okay.
All right.
So, Mike, you want to guess?
Let's see here. I'm going to say orange.
I'm going red. I'm feeling the red.
Oh, it's red.
Yeah,
are
Yoshimi.
You me? I'm so bad at this.
You're bad at robots and Starburst.
I'm bad at robots and Starburst guessing. All right.
So now you have another one lined up.
This game is called Beat Up on the Guest.
No.
That's what shouldn't have let him gone first. Although he would have just buzzed us both.
Now, do you need time? Should we do ours?
Give me a moment.
All right, let's hear your number five.
All right, my number five is Robot Dog by MC Chris.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. Yeah, good Robot pick. Dog. Turn it on, motherfucker. Say Robot Dog. So yeah,
I got an allergy to every pedigree, and so I got myself a robot dog from Japanese.
Yeah. It's Japanese,
I think. So.
Yeah, I used to bump that in my car when I would cruise around, screaming about robot dogs. All right, number five from Prof Robot,
Mr. Roboto by Styx, which I
all right. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Now, what's crazy about this is this is part of a big concept album rock opera thing that Styx did about Mr. Roboto.
Mm-hmm.
So like they were doing like and this what's weird is that there seems to be a running theme in a lot of rock operas about people feeling isolated and not human. And I think it just took like Tommy to its like penultimate conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
As like corny of a song as it is and as dated as it is with all the synths and stuff like that, it's still really freaking rad. And if you watch the video, you'll get a good kick out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, do we have number five?
Just a question. Are we allowed to use two songs from the same artist?
Yeah, why the hell not?
All right,
as long as
cool.
They're about robots.
Yes, they are. My new number five is Circuit Squared, Circuit Cubed by Uncle Outrage.
I do not know this song.
We are virgins to this song.
Uncle Outrage is a electronic junk rock band from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Cool.
And picture a grungy, grittier, kind of like Mindless Self Indulgence when they're just starting out, but not as gross and more just kind of dorky and nerdy and crazy.
I'm down.
So this song is essentially about getting turned into a robot.
All right. I'll have to check it out.
Being turned into a robot.
Yes. All right.
So that, I guess, is back to me. Mm-hmm. My number four song about a robot is Joy the Mechanical Boy by Self.
Ooh.
From the Half-Baked Serenade.
Nice. That is a good song.
VCRs and vacuum tubes make Jill his mechanical bride.
He gave them piercings for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that song is a class. I don't know. Anything by Self is a good call.
Agreed.
I can't argue with that.
Agreed. I think that's the only song that I know of theirs.
Really?
Yeah.
Then you do not know enough Self, my friend. Let me tell you what.
I don't know myself enough.
Oh, know thyself. That's the commandment.
Know thyself.
All right. Well, I guess it's up to me for number four now. Number four, Nanobots by They Might Be Giants.
Nice. Yes. That's a good pick.
You didn't pick that, did you?
I was thinking about it, but I didn't write it down.
Good. Then you don't get. Then we don't have to fight.
I don't have to lose another battle.
Yeah. It's a newer song by them. I really like the horn part in that. It reminds me a little bit of Dr. Worm.
Yeah.
But it's about nanobots taking over.
Yeah. I love anytime They Might Be Giants get horny.
Yeah.
I remember when John Henry came out and they had that full horn section sound, I was like, this is exactly how I want that band to evolve. From two guys with a sampler and a drum machine.
Yeah.
To
it's a natural progression. And the music video for it's shot by Liam Lynch.
Oh, yeah. Simone fame.
I didn't know that.
It's a pretty amusing video. Everybody gets killed by nanobots.
I'll have to go check the video out.
All right. And I guess that would be number three to you.
I didn't pick my number four yet.
Yeah, we had to skip him on number five three times.
Yeah, so. I know. Thanks,
guys. We lapped our dear friend here.
My number four is Robot Rock by Daft Punk.
Ooh, nice. Ooh.
How did I not think of that one?
Yeah. One of my favorite electronica tracks. Actually, I think it was my first Daft Punk track that I ever heard.
Hmm. Really?
And it kind of turned me on to electronic music, because back then I kind of used to just be all punk rocks and the metals, but then I found electronica through the loving sound waves of robot rock.
Yeah, man, Daft Punk is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised I actually did not put a Daft Punk song in my robot list.
Yeah,
it
of all the bands,
Human After All.
Yeah. Well, that's about being the antithesis.
Yeah, exactly.
Not specific.
Well, you might get a chance.
Yeah, might, maybe. All right. So it's me number three now, right?
Yes.
All right. Speaking of They Might Be Giants, my number three is Become a Robot by They Might Be Giants.
Hey. what do you know?
Do you also have that one, or you're just what are you knowing me?
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, what do you know? We both think they might be giants.
Yeah. Well, they're a good band, and they've sung about robots more than once. There's another They Might Be Giants robot song that you could also pick.
If you wanted to pick the same band,
yeah.
You can totally do that.
Yeah. There's an open They Might Be Giants robot song left on the board, Mike, if you need to take it.
If I need it, I will go for it.
Keep it in reserve. We're not going to mention it until it's needed. Yeah. All right. Prof, what's it going to be? Number three,
Robots by Kraftwerk.
Ooh. Yep.
Yeah.
I was almost there.
I was tied between that and Robot Rock, but I was like,
Yeah, but I mean, it's like one of the first like electronic songs ever. And it sounds so robotic, and what you think a robot would make if a robot made music.
Beep, lark.
Yeah.
Beep, lark, lark.
Beep, lark. Just like, it's like industrial before industrial became people in, like, boots that made them 7 feet tall.
Wearing utility kilts.
Yeah, and neon dreads. Like
blue. I love my utility kilts, though.
Hey.
They're breezy, and they have pockets.
No, nobody's getting on your utility coat, but, you know...
And they're great to wear at airports.
All I'm saying is if you wore one at a convention, then maybe we would have to have a talk. But...
I'll make a
note.
You
can own a utility... No one... You have my permission. All right, Not that you need it.
I think it's number three to Mike.
Number three to me? Mike. Number three to me is March of the Poosiers by Devin Townsend.
Ooh.
Devin Townsend, the former guitarist and vocalist from Strapping Young Lad. He recently just released his sequel to his first metal rock opera called Ziltoid the Omniscient. Zed Squared did come out in December. And it's a continuation of the story. And March of the Poosers are these butt aliens have these mech suits, and they destroy Earth on the order of this warrior space queen. And it's completely absurd. I mean, they're butt aliens. They're butts with faces on them. The song is very Danny Elfman.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of very Oingo Boingo, Nightmare Before Christmas, but metal as fuck.
Oingo Boingo's metal as fuck in my mind.
Yeah,
but like more the experimental like metal that came. Like, much, towards the early 90s.
Much like Devin Townsend.
Yeah.
And the rest of Strapping stuff, but...
Sweet.
There you go, all right.
Yeah. Well. Oh, I've survived two rounds.
Yeah, I think we got our conflicts in early.
Yeah.
I think we've... Because that's the thing, even if it's somebody's number one...
Can I just have that yellow Starburst?
Yeah, you want it.
You're a survival Starburst round. Burner. A
Starburner.
Starburner. All right.
Yeah, this is the high point extra life in Galaga.
Yes.
you ready?
My number two is Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots Part 1 from Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots by the Flaming Lips.
Oh, Yoshimi, they don't believe me.
But you won't let those robots eat Starbursts.
Here's my problem with that song, is it's about killing robots.
Well, they're programmed to destroy us.
I hate that. Yeah. That's like...
No,
it's
about killing the evil-natured robots. If you're a good-natured robot, you have nothing to worry about.
But doesn't she, like, fall in love with a robot and it's, like, forbidden? Isn't that part of the concept album?
I thought that was an episode of Futurama.
I mean, that was. It could be more than one thing. That's all I'm saying.
Dirty robosexuals.
All I'm saying is, like, as a professor robot...
Yes.
I cannot condone the senseless murdering of robots, even if they're aggressive. We don't murder every aggressive human. That's all I'm saying. Fucking Flaming Lips, you fucking anti-robo assholes. No, good album. Great concept album.
Yeah.
A classic. Really underrated. That should really be like a modern classic, I feel.
What, Yoshimi?
Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots. I feel like it's just more in an art crowd thing.
But maybe, yeah. It may not have mainstream... As
it
mainstream
didn't have as much
could,
say
but it's,
as like if it had come out in like the 60s or 70s.
But still, for the Flaming Lips, who are a pretty notorious act, it is kind of seen as their breakthrough success.
Yeah, it's like the peak of their like mainstream
career. If you don't count She Don't Use Jelly,
yeah,
which was sort of like a... One
that was
hit
their
wonder
one-off.
Peak
yeah.
into
the fact
the
that
radio
they kept
world.
Going beyond that.
Yeah, they kept
to, like,
making the music they wanted to make,
artists,
which is great.
Yeah, they've done a lot of weird, crazy
Soft
experimental
Bulletin
stuff.
Was great.
You know about the album where it's four different discs and you gotta play them on like
Zyreka. They programmed it so that you have to play it on four separate stereos that you synchronize the start of all the tracks, track one.
That's amazing.
And they've had listening parties. It's great.
Yeah, they do crazy stuff. But that has nothing to do with my number two.
I'm curious what your number two is.
Mechanical Man by Devo.
Ooh. Oh, that was on my short list and I thought you'd probably pick it, so I didn't.
It's like one of their B-sides, and it's really...
It's so good. Really so warpy. Experimental.
Yeah, it's like exactly what you would think an early robot would say.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm like, a 2 + 2 = 4 man.
Yes, I have two arms. I have two legs. I am a mechanical man. And I don't know, I really like a lot of Devo's weird earlier stuff when they were more experimental. So that song rings true with me. And I'm betting that we both have the same number one.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think I'm going to surprise you with this one, and you might surprise me with yours.
Well, my number two is another Uncle Outrage song called Cyborg Standing in the Rain.
Is it about a cyborg standing in the rain?
No way! Yeah, it is.
Nice. Cyborgs keep standing in the rain.
It's about someone that's in love with a cyborg, and the cyborg's standing out in the rain all by itself.
Did they invite it in?
Yes.
Does it kill him?
The chorus, I believe, is... I don't remember it, actually. The chorus is
come in there, robot. Come on in. You're probably cold. Hey, Mr. Robot, come on inside.
Come inside. You'll get a throat cold.
We've got warm oil, but not so warm that it catches on fire. Mr. Robot, come in.
That's number two.
Nice.
That's the chorus to it.
That's exactly how it goes. Thank you for reminding me. All right,
no problem.
All right, and drum roll, please.
For your number
my
one.
My surprise, Dr. Octave's number one song about robots. None of them knew they were robots by Mr. Bungle.
Ooh.
Which is also about nanobots.
Damn. Dude, nice. Yeah. I'm going to throw you a curveball.
All right, do it. Curve me, Prof. Robot.
Cyborg by Frank Zappa.
Ooh.
Cyborg.
I forgot about Frank Zappa.
Give me that.
Cyborg. Yep.
It's about fucking a sex bot to death.
Yeah, that's from Joe's Garage, right?
Correct.
The rock opera about the Church of Appliantology.
Yes.
Appliantology.
Yeah, I don't know. That everyone go listen to Joe's Garage. It's a great concept album. Yeah. It's slowly becoming reality as more and more things become outlawed.
And more appliances become fuckable.
Yes, we are almost there. Teledildonics is the way of the future.
It is. It's true.
All right, and that leaves Mike, which you obviously
save the best for last.
Have a safe number one here.
Yes.
You made it three rounds.
It's safe. I'm pretty sure it's safe. It's by another Canadian band called Tokyo Police Club. And their song is Citizens of Tomorrow.
Yay!
And it's about getting slaughtered by robot masters in the future.
Okay. So I think we've covered all the bases
here. That's more...
That's your style?
Flaming Lips can learn a thing or two from Tokyo Police Club.
All right. Good to know.
And I think, dude, that's it for our first ever...
Holy crap.
Cartoon Violence has a podcast.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We did the whole
good
thing.
Good job. Good job, Cardinal Miles.
We had a podcast, and you helped.
We had a podcast, and I helped.
Yes.
All right. Together We Are Robots. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people go to buy your new album?
They can buy it at monobombrecords.bandcamp.com. It's called Ghost Stories. Please like me on the social medias, on the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams.
It's pretty much Together We Are Robots everywhere.
Yeah, except on Twitter where it's Together Robots because I didn't have enough space. It also kind of looks like as To Get Her Robots.
Which is romantic.
Yeah.
Next Valentine's Day, make a note.
To Get Her Robots.
Why not robots?
And I'm actually working on a new website right now, but I don't really know what the domain's going to be yet for it. So
just follow everywhere else and you'll find out where that's going to be, motherfuckers.
And yes, check out... Oh yeah, there's also SoundCloud and a Bandcamp and all that stuff too.
Togetherwearerobots.bandcamp.com
and soundcloud.com/zombiechiptune. I'm just too lazy to change that URL.
Is that zombie with a Z?
It's zombie with an X because I'm edgy.
Well, all right.
Is that worth more or less points in Scrabble, or is it the same?
It's actually worth less.
Oh.
Two less points.
Wow.
Well, yeah. You just got Scrabble served.
You got to sacrifice for your art, don't you?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And then we've got stuff coming up as well.
We do.
The Cartoon Violence.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing at the Store Club.
The Store
with
Club.
With Dr. In Popular. Oakland. Yeah, in Oakland with Dr. Popular. Continuum Kingdom. Not Quantum Kingdom.
No, that's a different band.
Yeah,
Quantum Leap. We play with them in another dimension.
I was thinking Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Because they leap through the continuum
right.
of the kingdom. We're also playing with Robo Beat 'em Up.
Yeah.
That's going to be going on at the Store Club. Like I said.
That's April 15th, tax day.
Only $5. It's the Death, Taxes, and Chiptune show.
Yeah, so after you get your taxes paid, if you have $5 left over to your name.
From the government refund.
Yeah.
You know.
Come see us. It'll be a fun show.
Yeah, and only $5 for four bands. That's
and it's a good sampling of what the current state of Bay Area electronic chiptune music is.
Yeah, it really
we got like some ambient post-rock. We got like some punk industrial. We got some Dr. Dance Popular. Pop.
If you if you want to see the most amazing yo-yoing
Dr. Popular.
Like, not only is his music fantastic, and his lovely wife Christine puts up with getting on stage with him and rocking out with him, but he also does some yo-yo tricks that will blow your mind.
Yeah.
And
I had no idea he could yo like that.
Did you not? You know he's like
a yo-yo genius.
Champion yo-yo.
I had no idea.
He's invented at least two, maybe three yo-yo tricks.
Like, I talked to him at the show last Thursday, and yeah, I was like, I had no idea. And he's like, yeah, like, he used to be big ups in that yo-yo.
Yeah, he used to be all up in that yo-yo world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're also going to be playing a special Star Wars themed show 2 days before May the 4th, on May 2nd at Homestead Lanes in San Jose, California. Right now,
it's a Cupertino on the map, I think.
But yeah, San Jose area.
Yeah.
And if you like, come out to that, we're going to be playing with the Koopas. That's the only announced act. There's going to be more, though, so
stick around. And we've done this show 2 years previous.
Yeah, this is our
third annual Star Wars Day extravaganza.
Because we have a song about Star Wars.
So we're pigeonholed.
Yeah.
But we like the whole
thing.
Somebody actually
was like, you guys only have one song about Star Wars? I'm like, well, we know other songs about Star Wars.
Yeah. And we do. Let's see, in the past we've done
the Sith and Ollie
Star Wars song.
Yeah,
and I think, you work the Imperial March into your guitar solos.
And I'll probably do the Imperial March solo again at this show because it's the only time I really do it.
And I guarantee you, we will do some brand new surprise Star Wars song that you were never expecting, audience of ours.
That makes me sad that I won't be there for it.
Well, you'll be in our hearts because we're still robots.
Will there be a live stream?
I don't know. Probably not. But
we'll see. If the Force is strong with Eric Finale, there will be.
Hopefully there'll be some live streaming.
There's a fantastic flyer that I have drawn for this show that I'm really proud of, and we'll put up a picture of it when we put up the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's really it. I mean, I think we should just go.
We should go. All right,
check us out on the internet at Cartoon Violins on Twitter, cartoonviolencemusic.com, and
The Real Cartoon Violence on Facebook.
I'm at Prof Robot on Twitter.
I'm Doc Octave. And we are Cartoon Violence.
All right.
And
together we are robots. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.